gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, let's go. What a show today. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Robert Gibbs, hello. Hello, from the White House on the big show today.
No, from the Obama campaign.
All right.
You have to say from the Obama campaign.
From the Obama campaign.
Okay.
Everyone knows that. He never talks to anybody in the White House. From the Obama campaign. Silly me. Okay.
You're going to get them in trouble, and they're not going to come on again if you keep saying that.
Right-wing tool, Rich Galen on the big show. Since Reince Priebus.
Thanks, Priebus!
Sorry to interrupt your snack. he has banged his teeny tiny gavel. And wow, it's open! I can feel the electricity from here.
For 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how long his gavel lasted. All right, and I was saying, we posted this on my Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
Greg sent this to me first. Tropical Storm Isaac hitting center, shaped like a woman's uterus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is, well, or a bike seat, but close enough to a uterus to be funny. Greg says, this is Steph, this is too funny. First, you have the fact that people say God is punishing someone with a hurricane or now getting hammered on their convention by, you guessed it, a hurricane. Then you have the fact that the name that came up in sequence is Isaac, which means laughter. It refers to Sarah laughing when she was told she'd have a baby at her very old age.
Mm.
That'd be like me. Yeah. Now you have what? Hey, my boy toy's coming in today. Your good friend that I made out with last week, and we'll see. Maybe I'm pregnant.
Yeah, he kind of overslept at a friend's house last night.
Busy?
So,
cheating on me already?
I just texted him, and
I don't care.
He's on his way in.
I don't care.
Okay.
I love him. Okay. now you have a storm pattern looking like a uterus, which for a party that thinks a raped woman should always have to bear the rapist's children, and yet they claim they're not anti-women. Seems like karma. Just a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Yeah.
It's just a little. That's very uteriny.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is.
Sad thing is it's headed towards New Orleans.
And another Republican has said something, has made more stupid rapey comments, so I need my BFF. Yeah. Oh, help, sister. I need backup in the war on women yet again.
Good morning. I'm going to use the overslept at a friend's house excuse next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, you are not.
I actually haven't seen my friend since Sunday.
Since he was making out with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And now he's run away and we can't find him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a little too pretty for West Hollywood. Okay. Anyway, my point is, wow, it's Tuesday, Jackie Schechner. So that means another Republican has said something stupid about lady bits.
Oh, is that what we do again? Is that what it happens?
Yes.
Every Tuesday and Thursday?
Yep.
How
I don't.
Frequently.
Every day that ends in Y.
Yeah.
When you think that you can't be, we can't pin the outrage meter anymore on the war on women. I mean, it's stunning, isn't it? This is Pennsylvania Senate candidate Tom Smith. He's the latest Republican to bungle a response about Todd Akin's controversial comments about rape and pregnancy. He said what that congressman said I don't agree with at all. And then he went on to make it worse.
Sure.
He should have never said anything like that. I lived something similar to that with my own family. He then described his daughter's out-of-wedlock pregnancy from consensual sex.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Consensual rape. It's slightly
he
less
said she chose life, and I commend her for that. She knew my views, but fortunately for me, she chose the way I thought. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't rape. So why did you just bring it up and compare the two? He affirmed that his daughter's pregnancy from consensual sex was similar to rape. He said, put yourself in a father's position. Yes, I mean, it is similar. Okay.
Yes, because it's all about how your dad feels.
Right. I mean, isn't that exactly it? Here's the woman's point of view from a man's point of view. I mean, it's stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's so indicative of a fundamental dismissal.
Right.
Of the woman's experience, the woman's emotions. I mean, it just, it's like they can't even fathom what it means to be involved in any of these scenarios.
Right. What did he say? Blah, blah, blah. Put yourself in the father's position. It's similar. No, it's not. You're not the one that got raped.
Yeah, there's nothing similar between rape and consensual sex where somebody gets pregnant and they're not intending to. I mean, it's not even remotely close.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible. How have they not learned by now to just stop? To just go, okay, his comments... reprehensible and then just stopped. It's not like anything, right?
Well, there goes another. I mean, granted, he wasn't doing well in the polls against Bob Casey anyway. But
right.
I mean, there goes another Senate seat. I mean, how can you possibly?
I just keep hearing that in my head. Not another one down.
Yeah,
another one. Hey, Senate seat bites the dust.
Hey, fathom this. Go make me some coffee. You know how Daddy likes it.
Oh boy,
it really is frightening that these are the men that want to be in charge of running
right.
the country,
uh-huh.
and they just don't. I mean, you talk about a war on women. How about just not understanding the female experience at all?
Right.
In any capacity.
I mean,
look at
Ryan. Paul Ryan 2 days ago, the whole, rape is just another form of conception. Again, no, it's not. Not for the woman that was raped.
Right.
It's not. It's not about you. I mean, it's, I don't even.
Do they know that women are 53% of the electorate? Can they add?
I don't think they're not good at math or science. For instance, Jackie Schechter, Exhibit B, this is like all the isms are the same in the end, aren't they? Sexism,
mm-hmm.
Racism, homophobia-ism.
Sure.
Why did we lose our ism on mine? I don't understand.
Well, homo-ism? What do you want to call it?
It should be an ism.
Have you seen there's a poster going around Facebook that says, I don't like the word homophobia, you're not afraid, you're just a jerk.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie's not on Facebook, so she hasn't seen that.
I think the language is a little stronger, but...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Tennessee State Senator Stacey Campfield, have you heard this one?
Mm.
On Thursday said it, quote-unquote, is virtually impossible for people to contract HIV/AIDS through heterosexual intercourse.
Really?
Except you
tell
might
people
wanna...
in Africa that.
Yeah, you might want to tell the thousands of women, women's families who've died of AIDS that's impossible. He's the chief sponsor of this bill dubbed Don't Say Gay, which would outlaw discussion of sexual minorities in Tennessee's public school system. That guy.
Yeah.
Said it's for. I mean, it is just Jackie Schechter. But
wow.
It's scientifically, it's.
And Paul Ryan wants
wrong.
To cut $115 billion from the Department of Education budget.
Yeah.
I mean, we need education in this country, because if there's any evidence that we are not educating our children, this would be it, because this is what they grow up to be like.
Is our children learning?
Exactly.
He wants to rename it the
our children learning act?
The Edumacation Act.
Edumacation.
He wants to name it the Department of...
The Department of...
Yeah, okay. And then this just in, Jackie Schechter. Oh no, this is going to come as quite a shock to you. The Republican platform, Medicare stuff, not so good.
Really?
No.
Hmm. I'm so surprised.
Yeah,
they've been champions of Medicare all along.
It's leaked out. It's leaked out somehow. The text details the privatization policy that the GOP lawmakers have supported for years, and that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are selling as necessary to quote unquote save Medicare
by destroying it.
Right. Sometimes you have to burn the village.
Save it by eliminating it altogether.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to this gobbledygook. This is right from the platform. The first step is to move the two programs, Medicare and Medicaid, away from their current unsustainable defined benefit entitlement model to a fiscally sound defined contribution model. We call for a transition to premium support model for Medicare with an income adjustment. Are you kidding me? What a bunch of...
It's a bunch of hooey.
Right. It ends Medicare as we know it, right?
I love when people are like, have you read the bill? Well, why don't you read the platform?
Yeah.
I mean, people are just read it. It's a lot shorter than the bill. Read the platform. It tells you right there what they want to do.
Yeah.
A healthcare expert other than you, Jackie Schechter, said most of the risk of future healthcare cost increases would be shifted onto the shoulders of Medicare beneficiaries. This feature makes the proposal radical.
What's your point?
Because that's what privatization does.
Exactly.
It means we're not going to help seniors afford their health care anymore. We're going to force seniors to pay for it out of their own pocket.
It's the ownership society. We own the debt.
Yeah. I mean, the CBO has found, nonpartisan CBO found that it would raise seniors' out-of-pocket medical expenses by thousands of dollars. The draft Republican platform claims the competition among private insurance plans will lead to major cost savings, though little evidence exists to support this particular argument.
I would say no evidence. And actually, this goes right along with the whole skin in the game healthcare argument, is that, the more you have to spend on healthcare, the more choosy you're going to be about your expenses. Because when people have nothing to do, they opt to go to the doctor, because people are just frivolously spending money on medical care they don't need, because that's just as much fun as, say, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese. Like, you just, you're like, I think
Chuck
I'd like
Cheese.
To go have a, I'd like to have a procedure today. People are not arbitrarily spending money on healthcare.
I'm going to go have a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun thing.
Just because. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You have plans Saturday? You want to have some sort of procedure and stuff? Let's do that.
All right, Jackie Schechter, before you go, let's do the betting pool, the guessing pool. What will be the next stupid Republican comparison to rape?
Ooh.
Rape is like, it's really like synchronized swimming.
Rape is like oxygen.
No, it's like
You get too much.
Yes. You get too much, you what? I don't know.
Grape is like going to Chuck E. Cheese. It's not bad. Some Republican will be pointing out the sunny side of rape again. Yeah. I can just tell.
Enjoy your rape juice.
Okay. All right. Jackie Schechter, thanks for the backup. There's too much incoming war on women's shrapnel. I can't handle it alone in here.
We've got the estrogen shield ready to go.
Yeah. Exactly. There's entirely too many balls in here. All right. Love you. See you at the top of the hour.
Goodbye.
Bye, honey. Yeah, I'm telling you, I know you guys are outraged too, but there's something about actually having a uterus that just makes you go, whoa, he said, wah!
Yeah, but you haven't used your uterus.
I want to do the no, don't speak. I literally want to just put my hand.
No, don't speak.
No.
Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Don't speak.
It's, you know what it is? Someone needs to do that right in the breath, right after they say what Todd Akin said was reprehensible. No,
don't speak.
Yeah, because then they could, like, try to, you know, then there's a breath and you could, oh, here it comes. Something really stupid now.
However.
No, don't speak.
It's like almost every time Dana Loesch speaks. Why, Rocky Mountain Mike did a tribute to our good friend. Mm. To our good friend Dana. Oh, she was the first Todd Akin defender out there.
That's too. Right.
Take your army to the haunted forest and bring me that girl and her dog. Do what you like with the others, but I want her alive and unharmed. Now
an army of Loesch.
Oh no, it's Dana and her right wing friends descending on Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
By the way, on Twitter, she told all of her followers that I wanted her to be raped by a pig.
Really?
Yes.
I must have missed that part of yesterday's show, and I'm pretty sure I was here for the whole thing.
You were here for the whole thing.
Huh.
Yeah, so Dana Loesch is not only a squealer, she's a liar.
She's a squealy liar.
A squealy liar.
Oh,
all right. All right. Oh, that's probably what she was talking about, is we played the...
I didn't play the Deliverance sound.
Hey, Dana, dummy, it's from a movie called Deliverance. Where the characters say squeal like a pig. Chris avoided... Okay.
I didn't even play that soundbite. I could have, but I didn't.
That's what it was. I played that.
The dueling banjos?
She's not familiar with the Deliverance, apparently.
Well, she's not familiar with the pop culture in any way, shape, or form, obviously.
Because that's from the devil.
Because she's...
Communism.
She's dumb.
What?
Okay.
What?
All right.
They say
and
something
it has
wrong?
It has the important kind of rape, male rape, in that movie, so you'd think you'd care about that.
I know.
Dana. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things.
Okay. Wow, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, guess what?
What?
He kept talking. He made it worse. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone
who,
number.
Rapey guy?
Rapey guy. The latest Republican rapey guy.
Okay.
What's his name? Hang on a second. That's the problem is they keep talking. They keep trying to make it better, and they just keep making it worse. Faced with a question about Todd Akin's inflammatory remarks about legitimate rape, Pennsylvania's Tom Smith,
right,
who apparently is going to get drubbed by Bob Casey now, he compared his daughter's out-of-wedlock pregnancy to rape.
I wonder how his daughter feels about that.
Yes. He said, put yourself in a father's position, because that's really the only important thing is the guy in the situation, the rapist and the father in the rape situation.
In between the guy. And
with the rapey and the rape.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in the father's position. Yes, I mean, it is similar. No.
Computer says no.
Okay. So here's how they first tried to... He said... no, I didn't say that. When he
but
was asked...
But that's what he... What he's saying
he said,
is...
I said I went through a situation. It's very, very difficult. But do I condone rape? Absolutely not. No one asked you if you condone rape.
Right.
Of course you don't condone rape.
Why would...
God.
Okay.
If you condone rape, then you should probably be put away.
I know. It's like, oh, well, that's a brave position. Yeah. Really? You're anti-rape?
I'm against murder.
Oh, well, sorry.
In most cases.
The whole war on women's been canceled. Okay. Anyway, so then he made it even worse. He then pivoted to his... Then he went... He basically echoed what Paul Ryan said. He pivoted to his anti-abortion position, saying a life is a life. It needs protecting. Who's going to protect it? We have to. I believe life begins at conception. I'm not going to argue about the method of that conception.
Oh, again? Wow.
Does he not, like, read the news? You know that Paul Ryan just got in trouble for that 2 days ago? Yes, the manner of conception does matter to the woman. That was raped.
I think what he meant was the idea of his daughter having sex at all feels like he's being raped.
Right. It's really all about him. Yeah, it's all about him. Sure.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Alex in Michigan is upset as a father. Hello, Alex.
Hello. How are you?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
I'm pissed off. You know, my daughter was raped, and she was brutally beat, and she became pregnant, and she had an abortion. Now, are these guys really fathers? Are these children they have just props?
Yeah.
Because how could you sit there and say something like that? My God, I sit here and I just shake my head. What kind of idiot says something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, daughter.
That kind of idiot.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
And I want to sit here and cry about it because my daughter was beat up pretty bad and she got pregnant. So what does that mean? She enjoyed it?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a way to go to court? You know, hey, she got pregnant. It wasn't rape.
Yeah,
then
I know.
It wasn't legitimate.
And then when he finally, goes to prison because the girl didn't get pregnant, do you take your grandson to visit their father so they know who their father is?
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's in a lot of states. Women are forced to, give visitation rights to their rapist. I mean, it really, and Alex, by the way, thank you for sharing our outrage. You bring up a different topic. It's not just women. There are a lot of fathers, husbands, brothers, whoever that love somebody that got raped.
My God, I hope these people never have to go through what I had to go through.
Yeah. Yep.
My daughter had to go through. Forget me.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And to this day, my daughter has not been able to have a decent relationship with a man.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. I Alex, I appreciate you sharing your story. I know that's not easy. I was telling a story yesterday that I know somebody in her 60s that she was raped at 17, and she still cries when she talks about it and shakes, it happened yesterday. So it's, thank you, honey, for that. And I'm sorry, and give your daughter our best as well, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks, honey. Okay.
I love the fact that guy had to explain that he wasn't for rape.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What kind of person feels they have to explain that?
Yes. Am I for rape? No.
Well.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
you know what?
They don't even get the part of what they said that's offensive.
Right.
It's like,
what? What'd I say? What?
Nobody said you're pro-rape. You compared it. Mm-hmm. You compared consensual sex to rape.
You know who has to explain something like that? Someone who thinks that rape is just another form of conception.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's how he went on to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other answer to this than the one the president gave. Rape is rape. It doesn't matter if it's marital rape, date rape, whatever. The kind of rape that Alex just described, rape is rape. It's not about sex. It's about power. It's about violence, I was wondering, the other thing, Chris, I was thinking, people keep talking about rape and incest. Mm-hmm. Incest. Isn't most incest rape? I mean, most, it's young girls.
Well, absolutely.
Really? Is having sex with your father or your an uncle
or your
consensual?
Brother. Well, if they're the same age.
Still illegal.
It's illegal, obviously, but it's a little different.
But what I'm saying, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, Jim, but I would bet that most incest...
Yes, right. Is
if the girl is not of age, then yes, it is consensual rape because she cannot consent.
Right.
That is rape.
Yeah.
But...
All right.
Splitting hairs.
Right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yikes. If I was going to spend $600 to have my boobs pinched, I would have gone to that fundraiser at the Clinton's house.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. All right, looking at the weather map, the giant uterus still bearing down on Tampa.
Oh, it's actually it's moved towards New Orleans.
Quite a ways away from Tampa. So.
It was.
Yeah,
the last
down on New Orleans,
screenshot
sadly.
I saw. Yeah, yeah, I know. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Tonight's the big night, and finally here. Oh, it's like Christmas came a little late, but it's finally here. The Republican convention starts tonight. Rich Galen, our favorite Republican strategist / right-wing tool, joins us now. Good morning, Rich.
Morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I can feel the electricity from here. Can you? It's very, very exciting.
It is quite exciting. It's more almost than I can bear.
It's your dry sense of humor that endears me.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing I had my nitros refilled, my prescription refilled.
Right.
I don't think I could have gotten this far.
I see the headline, Chris Christie on deck. I hope they've reinforced the stage. However,
come on.
Obviously, the story out today is it broke yesterday that he declined leaving the governorship to run with Romney because he didn't think they could win. So he's denying that story.
Yeah, I don't think he's denying it because it's not true. I mean, why would he have to leave the governor? The issue was that it was the New Jersey financed laws that that somebody figured out that if he was still the governor, they couldn't raise money from the hedge fund guys in New Jersey.
Right.
A lot of them. But that just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, these guys are pretty smart. One of the good things about being a governor or running for president or vice president is if you lose, you just go back to the, you know, you go back to the state house. If you win, you know, you get a house, a car,
Right.
an army.
Exactly. Well, he was right about one thing, and that is that Mitt Romney can't win, don't you think?
No, I don't think that's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the latest CNN Time poll. Obama's up 4 in Florida, Romney up 1 in North Carolina, so still tight, obviously, in the battlegrounds. But you can't tell me that Paul Ryan's Medicare plan is not hurting him in Florida.
Yes, I can, because I am old enough to have a Medicare card,
uh-huh.
And I'm sick and tired of people like you
treating me
like Fredo Corleone because I'm 65. I get it. I understand this. It doesn't frighten me. I don't, you know, run screaming into the night. I get it.
You're not an easily scared senior?
No, that's right. An easily frightened senior.
Well, I got to tell you one thing, though, Rich. I've, you know, you and I both been talking about politics for a while, and I have never seen the anger among women, and it's certainly showing up in the polling in Missouri, and now this latest guy running against Bob Casey just compared rape to his daughter's out-of-wedlock consensual sex pregnancy. It's, you know, I don't know how much more they can piss off women and have any chance of winning this election.
Yeah, that is true. It's hard to see how much more stupid some of these guys can be. But with Aiken, I mean, the thing about Aiken is everybody has turned their back on him. I mean, that was such an outrageous thing to say that 15 guys in southern Missouri.
Right. The problem is the vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan made it worse by calling rape just another form of conception.
Well, that has the additional advantage of being the truth, but he didn't say that women have some inner defense against getting pregnant as a result of rape, which is what Aiken.
No, but it is in the Ryan bill, and it is in the Republican platform that there are no exceptions for rape.
No, that is not true.
I beg your pardon. Which part is not true?
The fact that there's no exceptions in the Republican platform.
That's what it says. There's no.
Okay, read it to me.
It says there are no exceptions for rape.
Read it to me. You didn't read it.
Is there new news? Is there new news this morning?
You didn't read it. You heard it from, like, Bill Press or somebody.
No, I didn't. Oh, snap. Oh, my friend Bill Press got drawn into the... No, have they redone it since yesterday?
I haven't read it either, but my understanding is that it's not what it says.
Okay, well, obviously... Neither one of us has read it,
so there we are.
Okay, well, whatever. Yes, I get that. Mitt Romney has said he's for exceptions, but Paul Ryan obviously is not. So
well, it doesn't make any difference. Barack Obama was opposed to the war, and Joe Biden was voted for it, but that didn't mean that Biden had to... That Obama had to suddenly be for the war.
Right. But Paul Ryan could be president. You can't say that,
I think Joe Biden.
I'm the bottom of the ticket. That's the whole point.
I know, but my point is that the guy running for president gets to call the shots.
I guess.
Yeah.
Thank God Mitt Romney is so principled. So now Ron Paul has declined.
You should have been here. You would have had a good time out here.
I don't know about that. It's a shame we're
missing
it.
No. Yesterday was great. I mean, it was 15,000 journalists interviewing each other at the bar.
Nothing was going on.
Nothing was going on. Even the guy selling the Nixon bobblehead dolls was what was out.
And didn't the sun come out yesterday? Wasn't it a relatively nice day?
For a while it did. Actually, I tweeted about noon. The sun is out in TPA. That's the designated for Tampa. And then in the same tweet, I said, new topic, one for sale, one rain slicker unused.
Yeah.
How'd that go? Did you unload that?
No, I still have it. It rained in the afternoon for a while, but I'm looking at the Weather Channel. It says thunderstorms this morning, so maybe they'll delay this thing until November.
Rich, let's talk about the state of the Republican Party. So Ron Paul has declined a speaking spot because he said, I don't fully endorse him for president. Romney demanded to review the speech and that it had to include an endorsement without reservation or hesitation, and Ron Paul declined.
Yeah, but nobody is going to speak at next week in Charlotte without the speechwriters reviewing the speech and putting in the things they want and taking out the things they don't want. That's very typical. But the thing about Ron Paul, I think, is that he wants to protect his son Rand. He doesn't want his son to kind of suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune because of what Ron does. In the twilight of his career. So I think that was probably a good decision on Paul's part, just to stay away from it.
Well, I think there's no word on whether Rand Paul's speech has been rescheduled, is there, or have you heard?
Well, no, but I mean, just not necessarily just for this speech. I'm not just thinking, long term, that there's no need to go out, throwing arrows over your shoulder.
Right. I got to tell you, there's one, and Rich, you and I joke with each other, but, you're a sane Republican, and there was one line in here that, it's this discussion we've had many times about is this my dad in Goldwater's party anymore? Barry Goldwater Jr. Is a Ron Paul supporter. He conceded that the movement embodied by his father in 1964 and by Ron Paul this year has had a bumpy road, but it's still alive, it's still well, it's still important. To me, that says more clearly than anything else, this is not Barry Goldwater's party anymore, because Barry Goldwater Jr. is saying, this is not his
I think that's
dad's
right.
Party.
I think there's a bigger problem for the Republican Party writ large. I don't think Ronald Reagan could have been nominated in this cycle.
That's right.
I mean, I think he would have been seen as too moderate. He was a former, labor organizer, as and all that other stuff. So the party has moved significantly to the right, and we'll see as the Democrats have moved significantly to the left. I mean, there is an expanding gulf between the two.
I'm sorry, you lost points in this round.
Oh yeah, I'm not using that as a pejorative. I'm just saying as a point on the continuum.
But that's provably false. The Affordable Care Act was Bob Dole's health care plan. It was stuff right out of the Heritage Foundation. I mean, it's
Medicare for all.
Oh yeah, okay, that's right. I forgot. So the Democratic Party is moving now to the right, and the Koch brothers are their biggest funders. Okay, I agree with that. Put that buzzer back up again.
Let me ask you something. Have you read the new book? What it's called? It's Even Worse Than It Looks by Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein.
No, I have not.
It's just fascinating stuff. They were interviewed, and Norm's a conservative. He's from American Enterprise Institute, and Thomas Mann is a fellow at Brookings. Basically, it's just literally what they say is the GOP has become an insurgent outlier in American politics. It is ideologically extreme, scornful of compromise, unmoved by conventional understanding of facts, evidence, and science, and dismissive of the legitimacy of its political opposition.
Are you reading that from memory? That's fantastic.
Yes, right. I memorized that, and I had it ready for you. My point is, but here are two, again, people that have been considered centrists. Like, I guess I would consider you, and just talking about how extreme this version of the Republican Party has really gotten. Do you agree to some extent or no?
Yeah, no, I do. I agree. Absolutely. It is. I think it is. I don't think it's forever, but I do think it is. It is bumping up against that right edge, and my hope is that it will, rebound like a pong game, rebound off it and start hitting back to the center again, and pretty quickly, I hope.
Well, I guess that obviously all depends on what happens in the general. What do you think? What is your sense at this point?
Oh, in terms of what's going to happen, I think the issue for The issue, this is for my Democratic friends, because I'm obviously rooting for one side, so it's hard for me to be absolutely an analyst. But what my Democratic friends say is that the growth potential is on Romney's side, because people have made up their minds about President Obama. Either they think he's worthy of a second term or they don't. What they don't know is whether or not Romney is suitable as a replacement. And as somebody said yesterday, it's very much like 1980. You weren't born yet, but 1980.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
When Ronald Reagan, people didn't want Jimmy Carter for a second term, but they were absolutely uncertain about Ronald Reagan's capacity to be president of the United States. And they only had one debate that year. It was very.
Oh,
late.
Now, cowboy, hang on a minute. I knew Ronald Reagan. I voted for Ronald Reagan. Mitt Romney is no Ronald Reagan. Is that your comparison?
Yeah, I'm talking about the lateness of the decision. That Ronald Reagan, people did not. Yeah, you did vote for him, and so did a whole lot of other people because he won going away in a big way. But my point is, before that last debate, the polls were absolutely tied because people, again, they knew that they were pretty sure they didn't want Jimmy Carter, but they were unsure about Reagan until they saw him in the debate and they said, oh yeah, no, he can be president. And so a lot of people did what you did; they voted for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see the debates. I gotta say, Rich, I don't think I've ever seen numbers like this. And obviously, a lot of people have also made this point that the GOP is just becoming increasingly out of step with an increasingly diverse America. And what is the number, Chris? Was it 94% to zero?
Yeah.
The black vote. I've never seen a polling number that says zero for the other
group.
I mean, it's getting similar with Hispanics and with women. I mean,
That's right. Well, if it weren't for that, I mean, that's right. If those numbers were not those numbers, then Romney would be ahead by 13 points. Yeah, that's right. That's where the problem lies. Absolutely.
I mean, John Boehner actually said it out
Boehner.
Loud.
Boehner.
Boehner. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I always get that wrong.
I know you would. Come on, people.
He actually said out loud, he hopes blacks and Latinos won't show up. I mean, this is what it's come to. He said, oh, these groups have been hit the hardest. They may not show up and vote for our candidate, but I suggest to you they won't show up and vote for the president either. I mean, that's a strategy?
Well, that is what somebody wrote, I wish it were me because it was a good line, he said that 4 years ago Obama was running a crusade. This year he's just running a campaign. And what that really means is that turnout 4 years ago was so markedly different than a normal presidential year. That a lot of the polling got it wrong, even though they said he was going to win. They didn't think he was going to win by that much.
Well, that's why them playing the race card so blatantly with the welfare ad and the birther stuff, I think, is mobilizing the black vote better than we even could on our side. So thank you, Mittens, for that. I think the more they piss off these groups, the more they're going to mobilize them. Women, Hispanics.
That doesn't appear to be the case as of now, but I suspect the turnout will be fairly large. I mean, the current modeling that both sides are using shows about, you know, maybe up to 20 million fewer voters this time than 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, one can hope. Turnout.
Yeah,
Rich
exactly
Gallen,
what it's gonna come down to.
You are reasonable and cute, and that rubs me the wrong way, but I keep having you back.
Well, see, there you go again. Boner and rub you the, you know, talk about it.
There you go, yeah.
You know, it always comes back to that with you.
Mullings.com.
You have the fine scribblings of Rich Gallen. Thank you, honey. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dad. Be well.
All right.
Aww.
He's cute.
The first time he came on with us was at the Republican National Convention in 2008.
I know.
And we've had him on ever since. He's awesome.
He's a cuddly Republican.
He is.
Okay, 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Charlie Pierce coming up next hour.
Yep.
52 minutes after
Charlie
the hour.
Pierce is Betty Davis thighs, I'm told.
Stop it. It's not. Margo in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Margo.
Oh, hello, Mama.
Hi, baby.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I wanted to make the comment about why it is I think Republicans continue to make stupid comments about women's bodies.
Why is that?
And it is because I believe that they have been definitely brainwashed by an ultra-conservative, fundamentalist, Christian right. And their belief system is one that states that women are not people, but property, literally property, vessels at best for birthing more.
Margot, right. That's what you're saying. How many more times do we need to hear about rape from a man's point of view?
Yeah.
You know what? You don't get the same like weight that a woman gets in this on this particular subject. I'm sorry.
We belong to our fathers first, then our father picks our husband, and if we're lucky, we get to have lots and lots of babies.
Yeah.
That husband, or if we're unlucky, we get forced to, conceive via rape.
Yeah.
And then we have that baby too.
Yeah. I've gone a little rogue on that whole scenario, Margo, but thank you. Appreciate your. All right. So everybody's been talking about Chris Matthews bitch slapping Reince Priebus into the next election cycle on Morning Joe yesterday.
That cheap shot about I don't have a problem with my birth certificate was awful. It is an embarrassment to your party to play that card. This stuff about getting rid of the work requirement for help for welfare is dishonest. Everyone's pointed out it's dishonest. And you are playing that little ethnic card there. And you can play your games and giggle about it.
Well,
but the fact is your side is playing that card.
Okay, well,
when you start talking about work requirements, you know what game you're playing.
Yes.
And everybody knows what game you're playing. It's a race card. And this thing about a birth, if your name's Romney, you were well born, you went to prep school, brag about it. And this guy has an African name and he's got to live with it.
Wait, this is absurdity.
Well, making fun of the guy's birth certificate issue when it was never a real issue, except from the right wing.
Well, you got your monologue in, so congratulations. You're loaded up, you got it out.
Well, from the beginning this morning,
The fact of the matter is that he's from Michigan. He was born in Michigan.
Yeah.
He's making the point that I was born in Michigan. And you know what? We've gotten to a place in politics that any moment of levity is totally frowned upon by guys like you, just so that you can, push your brand.
It just seems funny that the first joke he's ever told in his life was about Obama's birth certificate.
Yay. Go, Chris.
Yeah.
But go with you.
Obama.
You still think he's a right-wing tool, Steph?
A lot of people have made the analogy. It's true. It would be like if Obama made a joke about Romney's Mormon religion. I mean,
right.
When
the joke's on you, you're allowed to joke about it. When the joke's not on you, you're not allowed to.
When Obama made a joke about the dog on the car, which Romney has made jokes about, I mean, they went crazy. Like, that's somehow the same thing.
Oh, levity. Oh, it's being punished. But, yes, when he does it, suddenly it's a crime against nature.
Dana's been screeching about that.
Which?
Oh,
you can't take a joke.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's all, to me, part of the same. I was reading another review of this ridiculous 2016 Obama movie.
Ugh.
But there is absolutely a market for just Obama hatred, Obama derangement syndrome, and it is absolutely race-based as well. I mean, I was reading a review, and they were talking about... This is the LA Times review. What has Michael Moore and digital technology wrought? Now anyone with a political agenda and a low-cost digital camera can make a movie and call it a documentary.
Yeah.
Even enterprises that at best are vanity projects and at worst badly disguised and overly long attack ads are taken seriously by audiences. It's precisely the shape of things in 2016, Obama's America. It does more to eliminate the filmmaker, Dinesh D'Souza.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Right. And his ego instead.
Yeah. It goes to show that any ex-boyfriend of Laura Ingraham can put out a movie.
Right.
Yes. Where is the line between documentary and propaganda? How are moviegoers or campaign-spending watchdogs, for that matter, to separate veracity from vanity? One of the points she makes in here, which I think is true, first of all, Michael Moore, nobody's saying you don't have a point of view.
Right.
I mean, that's what documentaries are. But she says Moore's work and the genre itself come with an implicit understanding that whatever truths emerge, they were ultimately forged by the process, not set in stone beforehand.
Right.
This is based on his books. His conclusion is already, scary, what Obama's going to do. It's all conjecture. It's just, and did you know there's dramatic reenactments in it?
Really?
The many dramatic reenactments, long
controversial
in the documentary world, don't help its cause. There are 7 setups involving more than 100 credited actors. The scenarios themselves play like badly scripted sitcoms.
Okay, that's not documentary filmmaking then.
That's right,
you can't call this a documentary.
People don't know the difference. They're like, this really happened.
Oh, look, they filmed it while it was happening.
That 2016 was built on a book is one of its fundamental weaknesses. Its course determined before the first frame was shot. The film is not after new insight. Rather, it's intent on laying out the arguments of a man who's given the same lecture countless times. This makes for a sluggish film. Even outrage falls flat.
Yeah.
The core thesis in 2016 is that Obama's politics come from, ooh, third world Kenya. Influences. His father, Kenya, in his early years, spent with his mother in India.
He met his father once.
Obama's preference for an anti-colonialist approach that would favor a rise of the third world, or as D'Souza calls it, United States of Islam, greatly reduce Israel's influence and see the U.S. role as superpower. This is all his opinion based on what? It's mostly D'Souza connecting the dots. There are no opposing points of view.
Right.
That
it's
AP not a
says,
documentary.
No. Fact it's check, anti-Obama film muddy on facts.
Hey. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Robert Gibbs of the Obama campaign. From Tampa, we'll be on with us next hour. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, our Tuesday pal on this hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice, deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Mary in Ann Arbor did. Staff, I'm the vocalist on When You Say Mitch.
Oh!
We weren't sexy liberal Columbus. I was inspired to contact Rocky Mountain Mike to lend my trained pipes for his awesome tunes. Can't wait to do another one. Mary in Ann Arbor with dogs Evita, Sahara, Rovin, Olive, Moen, Moki, and Pepper. Hello. She's a rescue girl like
me. Wow.
Yay. I'm wearing my rescue hat. Yay. How handsome and romantic I bet. And she's a good singer, too.
When you say Mitt, you pick the one who'll say whatever he must say.
Yep.
When you say Mitt, you've chosen the man who is the absolute flip-floppiest.
When you say Mitt,
you've said the word that means you have no spine at all. When you say Mitt, it means you want the man who's got no plan, just wants to win. When you say Mitt, you pick the one who knows when he has seen pancakes. When you say Mitt, you tell the world you'll use your vote to help the very rich. There is no sympathy, Mitt really can't care less, because the 1% is screwing all the rest. When you say douche nozzle, you've said it all.
Ironically, the Romneys don't drink beer.
That one.
Yeah.
That's so bouncy.
It's the Budweiser theme. Isn't
yeah,
it?
You remember that commercial?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Are you kidding?
What?
Although, according to Rich Galen, I was born in 1980, which makes me love him even more.
You were out of
college in
1980.
I voted for Reagan from the womb.
You were out
of... That's how Republican my family is.
Oh, my God.
I was already registered. All right.
No, you were yacking up grasshoppers on the 405 freeway in 1980.
Flat. Yeah, exactly. I just love the visual of, like, all our little singers around the country singing ridiculous lyrics in the studio. All right. Oh, I got a hate letter.
Oh.
Hate letter.
All right.
You know, I'm starting to appreciate it, Jim, when they actually put a subject line, because a lot of times too lazy, there's no subject, and when there is really is a subject, and normally the subject is that I'm a K-word.
Yeah.
Which is C-word misspelled.
Right.
Yeah.
By that a guy from the KKK.
Right. That was my last week's hate letter. This one, they have at least helpfully provided the subject, which is, you suck. This from Seneca. Somebody named Seneca.
That's a pretty name.
Or is it the town?
Again, the grammar and... It's always a little iffy.
A little fluid.
The grammar and the science, always a little, with our right-wing friends. If caveman was gay, humans would be extinct. Your show sucks. All right, well, that's kind of a leap.
Okay.
Your show sucks. You waste more paper and talk nonsense. So kind of an environmentalist, which I appreciate.
Mm. We recycle.
Yes, I do. Can't see that, I guess. Your show sucks. You waste more paper and talk nonsense. It's a waste of CO2 through my television.
Carbon dioxide?
Okay, carbon dioxide cannot go through televisions, just FYI.
And noise pollution.
You can turn it down.
Good luck to you, broad.
Broad? Is that...
For all of Seneca's thoughts.
Well, I guess if all cavemen were gay, you would have a point, but
all cavemen obviously were
they were all
not
men.
Gay.
If they were all men, yes, we'd be extinct.
Well,
but...
okay, so this person believes in evolution. That's a step.
Right. There's that. She seems concerned about recycling.
Right. Okay. We can work with her.
All right. We can work with this. I think I'm going to bring her around.
Yeah.
Despite my inherent suckiness.
Broad.
Broad. That's like the nicest thing you call me.
Well, okay. I'll stop it.
All right.
Okay. I don't think Og ever said, hey. But,
hey, girl. No, never happened. I don't think Og ever drank an Appletini.
Or a Flirtini.
Yeah.
All right. Could I have some high school educational film
like girly drink.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. What was I saying? Oh, we were talking about the Obama 2016 piece of dreck that's out there. Ugh. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Michael Moore is brilliant. You may not agree with him politically, which I understand, but...
he's a very good filmmaker.
What was the... what am I thinking? His major one with
Bowling
the...
Bowling for Columbine. No.
No, the...
Sicko.
Fahrenheit.
Yes, Fahrenheit, right. What was brilliant about it, it was all actual news footage used to really, like, devastating effect, because it was all true. It was all the lies that led up to the Iraq War. And that's the difference.
Yes, but he assembled it in a liberal way.
This guy has a point of view about Obama, about what he's going to do to America, and it's like, there's skits with actors. Like, it's not, that's not a documentary. Anyway. Yeah, I remember I actually took my mom, my Republican, to see Fahrenheit 911, and she was like, oh, well, now, are those clips true? I mean, I don't, that doesn't seem, I was like, what, yeah, don't you remember? That's what George Bush said, and what Dick Cheney said, and what, but that's what I mean, we've gotten so partisan that people don't believe anything, like, that doesn't support their political point of view when you're going, but those were actual news clips of actual things they said that led up to the Iraq War, you know.
I wonder if 2016 has a picture of Obama tying a girl to the tracks. Nyaha! Nyaha!
You will pay the rent!
You must pay the rent.
No, it's this.
I won't pay the rent.
Just the premise is so ridiculous that it's since what, kindergarten, he's plotted to take over America, to downsize it because he believes. Because
he's got a third world mentality.
Right. Colonial, anti-colonial something.
You know who else anti-colonial? Okay. The founding fathers.
Oh, I thought, I know, well, I thought you were going.
Hitler.
All right.
No.
No, he colonized a bunch of.
All right, this piece, I've got to quote a little. We posted it yesterday. We should post it again. We're getting these guys on. Because Norm Ornstein is a conservative. Thomas Mann from Brookings Institute, which is, they're both considered centrist political scientists. They've been regarded, you know.
American Enterprise Institute is pretty far right. They're pretty far right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is my point. This is what passes for today.
Right.
The Republican Party. They wrote the new book, It's Even Worse Than It Looks. Argues that the core of Washington's political dysfunction lies with the Republican Party. And this is, again, a conservative that's willing to admit that.
Right.
And they were interviewed. Why is the GOP to blame for the political stalemate you describe in your book? At the very beginning of the Obama administration, they made an explicit decision, now well documented, to eschew any policy negotiations with the newly elected president and Democrats in Congress. It's a strategy of total political opposition to avoid sharing any responsibility for the performance of the economy, to do nothing that might improve its performance, because that would boost the electoral prospects of Obama and Democrats. Their motivation goes beyond differences on the issues, and it's an aggressive, non-negotiable stance that makes any real constructive policymaking impossible. Again, this is a right-wing writing this. So that, but it, basically, it goes to what we always talk about, Jim, how this has infected the media with, oh, both sides do it, and they're both the same, and it's, you know, in the interest of trying to seem fair and balanced. There, and sometimes there aren't two sides to facts or to these kind of issues. Anyway, they go on to say it involves abandoning and denigrating policy proposals you once supported. I just said that to Rich about health care. As soon as the other party embraces them, denying the efficacy of governmental actions to deal with the economic crisis, threatening a public default by holding the need to raise the debt ceiling hostage to non-negotiable demands, to cut domestic spending in the midst of a weak economy, to using the Senate filibuster, all the stuff we talk about all the time. See, at least I don't think I'm crazy.
That's right.
There's a right-wing guy saying it, too. Okay. Delaying or denying the confirmation of presidential nominations, even though you approve of the nominee, the list goes on. You can do everything you can to inflict political damage on your political opponent, your political adversary. And that's what it's become.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying the Republican Party has changed? The result of all this is the transformation of the Republican Party into a radical party, not really a conservative party that no Republican president in the modern era would have felt comfortable being a part of. Anyway, and then they go on to talk about the media. How did the media go wrong? There's a strong tendency on the part of the mainstream media to avoid taking sides. In other words, we'll have to leave it there.
We'll have to leave it there.
To avoid reaching conclusions.
We'll have to leave it there.
That put the onus of our dysfunctional politics on one party or another or on one candidate or another. This can be a strength in an era when, in which the partisan and ideological media have grown in size and importance, but it also be a trap that does a disservice to the citizenry. Anyway, great book. Get it. Read the article on it.
It's still posted up on your Facebook page.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and get some more. You want to? Why not? Okay. Oh, you see, everything is Obama's fault. Even apparently he lied about the storm?
Yeah. Or he manipulated the data on the storm.
Sure, of course he did.
The Hurricane Center's track, and the Hurricane Center is, and I'm not alleging conspiracies here.
No.
The Hurricane Center is the regime. The Hurricane Center's the Commerce Department. It's the government. It's Obama. Mm. And I'm noticing that that track stays zeroed in on Tampa day after day after day.
No, it's moved.
And the Republicans react to it accordingly.
Those are scientists, meteorologists.
With no political agenda.
They think that the president would tell them to
make it
look like.
Okay, and obviously it has moved. It is, it has been well documented in the mainstream media that it is moving toward New Orleans, sadly. All right, Sean Hannity, did I just prove my point about, see, there is no such thing as objective science. No. It's all a conspiracy. That's okay, right. Sean Hannity.
This campaign to me has been defined by absolutely the smear, the slander, all the attacks.
Yes.
I mean, even as, you know, the country's praying for New Orleans, the Gulf Coast, the panhandle of Florida. I mean, it seems nothing is off limits this year.
Oh, I see. Oh, he was talking about our side.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Charles Krauthammer.
Classically, people say the Democrats are the mommy party and Republicans are the daddy party, and mommy isn't going to remove your Brexit from you. And people always think of the Republicans as these mean guys who just want to cut. But
yes.
With Romney's case, it goes beyond the policy. And that's where the hundreds of millions of dollars Obama has spent on all these ads attacking him as a vulture capitalist.
Mm.
He's a guy who in his history has never cared, so now he's a guy with policies that don't care.
Well, yes, he's a guy with policy. When
first of all,
the
Obama,
Catholic bishops call Paul Ryan's budget immoral,
right.
It's not. Yes, no, it's not the Obama campaign.
Obama is a Catholic bishop. That's my point.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Ray in Texas. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, first of all, I have to make a comment about all this raping the Graperton business because I'm
yes.
a girl and I have to. So,
yes.
Funny story. My husband and I were watching Bill Press this morning, and Paul Ryan's comment about the God's conception rape thing came on, and my husband turned around and looked at me horrified by this. And so I YouTubed it for him, and we watched it. And my sixth grade daughter was standing at the door waiting for the bus, and she doesn't hardly listen to any of this. And she turned around and looked at me and goes, "How come none of these guys know where babies come from?" Which I thought was like, so hilarious.
It's time for their parents to have the talk with them, right?
Right? No, I guess they get it in the church. But my legitimate question about, you know, the subjects that are really at hand, so they don't smoke screen us with all this rape business. Let's get to the economy. And my question for maybe a conservative or a Republican caller could call in and answer us this question seriously. If Mitt Romney and Ryan get elected, to our horror, and all they go through with all of their plans, and we get rid of birth control, and we get rid of abortion, and we make deep cuts to social programs, and we privatize education, who's going to pay for all these poor, sick, stupid people?
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, not to mention
the church?
That, Right. But, Ray, the whole premise of their campaign is a lie, because when they say they're for smaller government, their tax cuts for the rich, it doesn't balance the budget forever, you know? I mean, literally.
Exactly.
All it does is run up the debt. It does nothing to address the deficit,
right.
Paul Ryan budget. Particularly now that he's getting rid of all that, the waste from Medicare. He's going to put that back in, all the waste and fraud. Delightful.
Thanks,
nicely done.
Mr. Ryan.
Nicely done.
I
did the math. I told you I did the math on this. That makes it, because his budget wouldn't have balanced the budget till like 2040.
Mm-hmm.
Now it balances it right when Marcus Boxman likes the
which is never.
That's right.
Oh, really? You just got that now,
mm-hmm.
Jim?
Okay.
Just occurred to me.
Mara Liasson on Brit Burr.
Democrats rejoiced when Paul Ryan was put on the ticket. They thought they had a big, fat, juicy target because he wants to partially privatize Medicare.
Partially?
And they talked about it a lot. They ran ads. And lo and behold, hasn't hurt the Romney ticket. And
really?
To neutralize the Democrats' traditional historical advantage on this issue is really an achievement.
Yeah.
Not
nice
sure
try.
Where you're getting that from.
Yeah.
Because the polling I've seen just out of Florida today is schwar.
Florida's a pretty big state with a lot of electoral college votes.
A lot of retired people.
Yeah.
I seriously, I'm just wondering if they are working for us. Oh, by the way, Karl Rove, I saw the Chiron today, is demanding that Romney release his tax returns.
Uh-huh.
He may be working for us now. I really don't know. Because I wonder if they sat around going, let's see, all we have left are old white people. How can we get rid of them, too? Unless we get Paul Ryan in here, who wants to destroy Medicare.
Unless Karl Rove has created phony tax returns that he's going to put out.
Yeah, the tax return issue had kind of gone away, and now Karl Rove is bringing it up again?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Maybe they're trying to load up the convention after all and get Jebby in there.
Wow.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe they realize they've got a losing ticket and they're just going to pull the plug. And
okay, Bill O'Reilly.
The rest of the Democratic primetime lineup is composed of zealots. Let's start with Sandra Fluck. She's a Georgetown Law School lady who believes the Constitution mandates that the American people pay for her birth control.
Oh, dear God.
I can just picture James Madison and Thomas Jefferson hearing that. I mean, think about it. Ms. Fluck wants us to pick up her lifestyle expenses.
Oh, shut up.
And if you oppose doing that, Sandra will say you're anti-woman. And then there's the president of NARAL, Nancy Keenan, and the president of the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, Cecile Richards. These women are abortion extremists.
Oh, for God's sakes. Really?
Wow.
Extremists? Really?
How did this ever... She went to testify about her friend that needs birth control for endometriosis.
Right.
I don't... What? She wasn't talking about her own birth control needs. And
she's a slut who loves abortion, is my point.
Wow.
Okay. We've had Cecile Richards on. She's a lovely woman.
She's awesome. Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. Why not?
People are living a great deal longer. And consequently, they should be working longer, and they should not begin retirement at age 65 or 66. We should push that retirement age out to 70 or 72.
Sure.
And it's not going to hurt anybody, because people really like to work.
Wow. Wow. Yikes.
Yeah.
Why not?
We should put Grandma on the assembly line just that much longer.
Grandma, get off the couch. Carrie Mett waits up to the attic. What's the matter with you? Wow. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Charlie
Pierce.
Tote
that veil.
Yes.
Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's being hot and doing baby talk? I invented that. Summer of 98, I took it to a whole new level.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're trying to activate our tracking device on Charlie Pierce, who is in Tampa.
And it might be a little hard to get a cell phone signal from there, because there are a lot of people using their cell phones.
Didn't we have him chipped?
Microchipped.
Yes. He's so handsome and romantic.
Oh, God.
Suzanne in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Christy Huckabee and Liz Cheney are losers.
just like Michelle Bachmann, she announced today that there is no war on women. I just heard her on TV.
Really?
There was an armistice.
So she's fine with rape being compared to everything
And Liz Cheney said that she doesn't want it to be called the war on women. She wants it to be called the so-called war on women. They have that submit and obey thing. They have that submit and obey thing going on. It's old-fashioned.
Yeah, oh boy. Okay.
We'll change it to the
Kenyan
Obama.
In case you hadn't heard the latest. Who's the guy? Oh, the guy, the Republican running against Bob Casey, compared rape to his daughter getting pregnant out of wedlock from consensual sex.
Right.
Okay, then, Jim.
Yes.
Who said reporters retreat to a formulaic he says, she says, or both parties are to blame that imposes a false equivalence on the underlying reality? Reporters don't want to be charged with partisan bias, and their editors and producers have strong professional and economic incentives to avoid such charges. The safe response is to insist on balance, even if the phenomenon is clearly unbalanced. In their quest to be fair and balanced, they misinform and disarm a public trying to fix our dysfunctional policies. Who says that?
Bill O'Reilly, and you're a pinhead.
I am not. No. Norm Ornstein of the far-right American Enterprise Institute, in his new book that we're getting to get him on, he and Thomas Mann.
Mm-hmm.
Who said Obama's health care proposals? I don't know who said this. Oh, maybe me. Obama's health care proposals were designed to avoid the pitfalls of past failures by negotiating with many.
Avoid the what?
Pitfalls of past
That's
failures.
That's not what you said.
By negotiating with many of the health care.
I think you're talking about that bathroom at the Madonna Inn.
No. Many of the health care stakeholders and embracing ideas that have been the centerpiece of past Republican proposals. These include state exchanges, subsidies for low-income households, significant insurance reforms, including guaranteed issue and affordability for those with pre-existing conditions, and an individual mandate. Who said that?
Laura Ingraham.
No. Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann in their new book.
Mm.
All right, I'll give you one more.
I bet they've been to the men's room at the Madonna Inn.
Yes, with the piss falls.
Yeah.
Once Obama was for them, Republicans turned against them. That's... didn't read that.
No, right, okay.
Okay. Who said, in the face of these partisan wars, the press has become even more defensive and looks for safe harbors? One of these is to treat both sides as equally implicated. It was probably easier to cover things when both parties were operating in the mainstream of American politics. When one party has moved off track in such a breathtaking fashion, he said, she said, serves to obscure the underlying reality rather than expose it. Who said that?
Dan Quayle.
No, that was another bad guess.
Durr.
No. Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann, their new book. All right. By the way, they finished by saying, they asked them, what are the consequences for democracy if this does not change? They are enormous. It's concern for the well-being of our democracy that motivated us to write this book. Mm-hmm. The war between the parties is being waged in a way that does serious damage to the country. All right. So we are hopefully getting them on. Fabulous stuff.
We have placed the request.
All right. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Peter in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pete. Hi, Pete. Pete's not ready. Let's go to Rick in Florida. Hi, Rick. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you all today?
Good. Go ahead.
I have been a Republican for 35 years, and I have the definitive reason why President Obama should be reelected.
Why is that?
Well, while they both have plans to help America, Romney's plan is the only one that is willing to sacrifice Americans to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Americans that shop at Costco, for instance. Okay, I'm going to give some free advice to the Republican Party. Stop trying to make him into a regular guy. He's not. And he does not shop at Costco.
I'm wearing regular guy shirts.
Oh, for God's sake.
Chancellor got me one of these three packs of shirts the other day from Costco. And they're very nice shirts.
The Kirkland shirts, he's wearing them all the time now. I'm like, hey, that shirt looks pretty good. I got it at Costco.
Kirkland shirts.
Oh, for God's sakes, really?
Yeah.
Do you think we're dummies?
That's why he's got a Swiss bank account. Yes.
You know what?
Kirkland
yeah.
shirts at Costco.
Polyester.
You were saying if polyester ever touched his skin, he would look
rash.
Like a leper.
Yes.
No!
Get it off!
It's poor people
burns.
Backwards.
It burns! Seriously.
Oh, boy.
Kirkland
All right.
shirt has never touched his torso.
Please. They get some research.
That's what the magic underwear
is for. The brand? God. Write that down.
Wow.
Okay.
I do like the Kirkland cashews, though. They're really good.
Delicious.
Yes.
That's what they make their shirts out of.
They're nut-based shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Mitt has a polyester allergy, like most people have peanut allergies.
Right.
Burns. Okay. Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
He gabbled with his tiny little gabble. He gabbled us in yesterday.
It is my privilege to proclaim the 2012 Republican National Convention in session and called to order.
And now we're going to go away.
Bing, bing, bing.
No, it's, okay, except now it's over.
By the way, Tracy in Chicago says, Steph and gang, keep in mind that when Barack Obama jokes about a dog on top of a car, he's referencing the fact that Mitt Romney actually put a dog on his car.
On top of a car.
When Mitt Romney jokes about his birth certificate, he's referencing a lie. That is the lie that Barack Obama was not born in the United States. Please don't buy the idea remark about a real event is the same as a remark that reinforces a lie. Also, props to Chris Matthews for calling out Reince Priebus when he accused Obama of looking to Europe for guidance on economic policies. Matthews accurately pointed out that Priebus is trying to foreignize Obama, trying to reinforce the idea that Obama is somehow other. Good on Chris Matthews for highlighting the Republican dog whistle strategy as it was actually happening.
Yeah, well, Obama put Indonesia on a car.
I love Chris Matthews. Like, he was quiet for a little bit. He's like, what are you talking about? Europe! What are the Roosevelt, whoever, would they were looking at Europe too! They, it's hilarious. Hilarious. And by the way, when we find Charlie Pierce, he has a great bit about, I'm sorry, but Tom Brokaw is a perfect example of, you know, and it's that old school reporter that, oh, I've got to seem fair and balanced. And so he's like, well, no, Chris, they both sides are all, I was like, oh, please. He was trying to, like, mediate the, you know.
Oh, by the way, I just got a text from a friend of mine who's a Costco worker for many, many years.
Yeah.
He says the Kirkland shirts are 100% cotton.
Are they really?
So just to let you know.
Okay. We apologize. So,
well, we stand corrected.
They're not nut-based.
They're
not made of cashews, and we apologize.
Or pistachios.
All right. All right. Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
Oh, he only lasted like 11. His gavel was up for literally like 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh.
If your gavel
2012
lasts more than 4
Republican National Convention stands in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Yeah! Recess!
Woo!
The call of the chair! Why am I shouting?
Rock and roll. Okay.
That was the gavel.
This is tiny gavel
that
only was up for 11 seconds. Hello, Joshua in Ohio. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. I wanted to call in about Tom Smith's ridiculous comment.
Yes. He compared his daughter's out-of-wedlock pregnancy to rape.
Right. For me, like, I look at it, and I have a 5-year-old daughter myself who was born out of wedlock, and if she came home to me in that situation, this is me and my boyfriend, we've been together 6 years, whatever, we're pregnant.
Well, if she were a 5-year-old that had been with her boyfriend 6 years, that would really be upsetting to me.
The funny thing is, though, is her mother's parents are very conservative Christians themselves.
Right.
And when she went home to them and said, hey, you know, I'm pregnant, we'd only been together about 3 months, and her dad wasn't the happiest about this because we weren't married and everything. But I can guarantee that even him, as a very conservative Christian, would not have reacted the same, or he did not react the same way he would have if she would have came home and said,
right,
Daddy, I got raped and I'm pregnant.
Yeah. No, I mean, Joshua, what father says that? That, oh, it's the same thing from a father's point of view. Really? It's the same thing.
Well,
I mean,
he's, from his point of view, he can't conceive of his daughter being a sexual being who can make decisions on her own. She must have been raped, you know, in other words, because my little girl wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Probably the female.
So in that scenario, rape would be better, because then at least she's not a slut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just got an email from a listener saying that she shops at Costco, and they don't sell multiple packs of shirts.
Really?
They're sold a single, just like a regular department store.
Dear.
So
now
that was a lie.
We've gone down the Costco rabbit hole now.
We have. And I do believe, unless, you know, he bought undershirts, which are sold in packs of three.
That's true.
I may have to go do some reconnaissance research at Costco today.
And pick up a giant pallet of toilet paper.
See, like, Republican operatives stuffing shirts into bags.
Yeah, into packs of three.
Yeah.
Just
to cover up the Romney's
different colors
lie.
And different sizes. But, you know. Look, see?
Oh, boy. All right. And the Rombot feigning empathy now.
Our thoughts are with the people that are in the storm's path, and hope that they're spared any major destruction.
Oh, well, you know
I
what? It might be time
spared.
To... time to go back to recall Mitt's disaster relief is immoral tirade from the primaries. Remember that?
Right.
Huh.
Asked about federal disaster relief for recent tornado and flood victims at last night's GOP debate. This was back in June. Mitt Romney called the spending immoral and said that FEMA should be privatized. So that's what he said then.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe
all right.
FEMA should be sent to China. And
wait a minute.
Shored off, outsourced.
Yeah.
What? Mitt Romney would not need undershirts because he has his...
The magic underwear.
His...
Get out of
garments.
The Costco
I'm thinking
hole.
Over here. I'm sorry.
Okay. At least Mittens likes his speech. That'll be one of them.
I like my speech. I really like Ann's speech.
Okay. Well, good then.
Wow.
That was hard-hitting.
All right. That'll be one person. All right. Okay. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. Mindless subscribe. GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Okay. All right. Oh, Jim, this may sway the election. Herman Cain says with Obama in a second term, there will be no pizza for anybody. What?
Well, no Godfather.
He's going to cancel pizza? Really?
He can do that?
Is that too late to put in the Obama 2016 movie? Time Magazine said, is it worse to imagine, he asked him, is it worse to imagine a world without pizza or one in which Obama gets a second term? Herman Cain said, it's worse to imagine a world with Obama getting a second term than it is to imagine a world without pizza, because with Obama in the second term, there will be no pizza for anyone.
Apples and oranges. That is the apples and oranges.
Yeah. Speaking of that 2016 movie, just got a tweet from a right-winger saying, are you going to watch it? Don't be left out. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people have. It's in the top 10 at the box office.
Mm. It is, but we will not deny that there's quite a market for Obama hate.
And I wrote back and said, I'm not going to go see it. Lots of people saw The Expendables 2 as well.
Oh,
it doesn't mean it was good.
You know, it was also a very popular movie, Triumph des Willens. Leni Riefenstahl.
Yes. Triumph of the Will.
It's made like $14 million. It's doing very well. However, Fahrenheit 9-1-1 made, I don't know, $120 million. Saying.
The Expendables 2 was number one at the box office. Doesn't mean it was good.
Just saying. Meaner. Meaner.
You're saying it was expendable?
All right. I found him. It's Charles. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Thank God that GPS, that microchip I put in you in Boston works.
In the scruff of his neck.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is an interesting place with really terrible cell phone coverage. Let me see if I walk around outside the zone of Republican radio interference here.
Yeah, there you go. Charlie, great stuff.
They're jamming me in the lobby here, I think.
I'm sure. They know who you are.
Yeah.
They got your number.
By the way, I loved your piece on Chris Matthews' bitch-slapping of Reince Priebus. Because you said I love you. He got up all in the slick, smug little grill of obvious anagram Reince Priebus. Over the obvious racial air raid sirens that have echoed through Republican politics only since about half past 1964. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
It was astonishing. For some reason, Willard gets on Chris Matthews' last nerve. I think it's some sort of strange Hibernian class thing. But that was really quite something. And I think I don't think that anybody in that party's been called on, the Southern, what used to be known as the Southern Strategy for, 50 years now. Well, at least not that blatantly.
Charlie, I've been talking all morning about this new book, It's Even Worse Than It Looks, by Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann, but, you know, that basically argues that the core of Washington's dysfunction lies with the Republican Party. And you talk about poor Tom Brokaw here. You know, you said despite his attempts to tut-tut my good man the whole thing to death, he covered the freaking civil rights movement and knows good and well which party latched onto the wrong side of those events. I mean,
I don't think it's any question. It's been polite to ignore it because it's been successful. But the fact remains, I read a quote from someone somewhere saying that given the demographics of the country, this is probably the last time they're going to get to use this argument.
Yeah. I mean,
use it they shall, I might add.
Well, and you summed it up perfectly. You said what we have in this campaign is a joining of old Republican money with the modern American financial universe and its power applied to advance ideas straight out of the swamps of the Wallace campaign 50 years ago. It's an unholy mess. I mean, that's exactly right.
And I think you're going to see, I don't know how they're going to manage to, they're talking a lot down here about tempering the celebration because of what's going on in New Orleans. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. Chris Christie can't get up there and give he's not here to give a moderate, sober-sided speech.
Yeah.
He's here to stir up the crowd.
Yeah.
Well, and as you said, there's only two presiding questions about this truncated convention. Can Willa Romney sell enough centrist bull to walk back the amount of wingnut bull he had to sling to get nominated? What do you think?
No, he's not going to try. He's going to go for a base election, I think. I don't think there's any way he can do what people say he needs to do. He's out too far on the limb at this point.
The thing is,
he's not a good enough politician to walk it back.
The guy
corners like a battleship. I mean, he doesn't change direction that well.
Is it smelling like 1964 around there?
No.
I hate to ask.
You mean the general atmosphere?
Yeah.
It's hard to know because the thing hasn't established a general atmosphere yet.
Yeah.
I mean, people were late getting here. Kenneth DePage is stuck in Louisiana trying to save his state. They're rejiggering the speaking schedule almost by the hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there really isn't. I mean, I expect things will cohere, starting at about noon today.
Right.
The first session is at 2 o'clock. So I think things will probably get together then. But up until now, the thing has been this very strange combination of incredibly rigid, incredibly rigid security and incredibly chaotic cluster bleep logistically.
Okay.
Really?
It's a weird place to be because it's all spread out.
Yeah.
There are delegations at the airport. There are delegations in St. Petersburg. There are delegations downtown. The security perimeter is unbelievable. The Massachusetts delegation is inside the security perimeter. So none of the local Massachusetts reporters can cover the Massachusetts delegation because that's always also where the Romneys are staying.
My God.
So they can't get into the hotel.
Yeah, it was like that at both the conventions we went to in 2008. It's just a great big cluster bleep.
Yeah, yeah. So tonight is Ann Romney's speech, and what else?
And Chris Christie and Rick Santorum and Scott Walker.
Oh boy.
I'm telling you, it's like, one of those Saturday nights at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
Pharoah Sanders, Jethro Tull, It's a Beautiful Day, and, Black Sabbath.
I don't know, you've heard the latest, who is it, the guy running against Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, the Republican, compared, rape to his daughter getting pregnant out of wedlock. I mean, they just can't, they keep stepping in it,
They can't do this issue. See, and the other thing that's interesting here is watching all the major Republican speakers. And I mean, I'm already of the declared opinion that there is no such thing as the Republican establishment. There's no group of people who can get together and tell these people to shut up.
Yep.
Basically, you're killing us here.
Can I just say,
usual? This whole enterprise down here is going to be dedicated to important Republicans running away from the platform because the platform's crazy.
Can I just say that, as usual, you wrote the best thing about the whole war on women. You said there was a whole lot of talk about Todd Akin and his interesting views on reproductive biology and why the lady parts have the inherent ability to kill the rapist sperm but allow the snowflake Jesus baby sperm to pass through them and into the magic place where the daddy stuff meets the mommy stuff and all the angels cheer.
Well, but they're doing the same thing on immigration. I went to an event yesterday with Papa Sununu and a congressman from Texas.
Yep.
Where they did a press conference for the Hispanic press.
Yep.
And one thing was interesting, I have no Spanish at all. I mean, I went through the nuns taught me French. So yep. Ouais, la bibliothèque. I can find the library in any town in France. But I don't have any Spanish. But the great thing is the words in English that don't translate into Spanish, like Mitt Romney and John McCain and self deportation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the congressman, this guy, Congressman Ken Saker from Texas, prefers to call it auto deportation, which sounds like something you pay $150 an hour for, yeah. You know, out by the airport.
But, Charlie, we're out of time. We love you, honey. Talk to you next week.
We will see you in Charlotte. No?
In Charlotte,
yes, we
baby.
Will next week.
All right, there he goes, Charlie Pierce. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's product placement deals for television. Oh, am I covering her whole name?
You're covering.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Over there, Lisa Bloom's in the house.
Hey.
With her new good morning. Swagger. 10 urgent rules for raising boys in an era of failing schools, mass joblessness, and thug culture. And she knows a little something about being raised right, because she was raised right by her mama, Gloria Allred.
Yeah. Yay.
That's my mama. It's Gloria Allred's world and Lisa Bloom's. All right. Good morning.
And she was a rockin' mama, let me tell you.
I bet you.
I bet you she was.
That was an e-ticket ride for those of us who remember e-tickets.
Yes.
And you have a 23-year-old and a 21-year-old.
That's right. I have two kids that I know of.
Right. You have a Republican man's understanding of your lady parts.
Yeah. That was like. Hilarious. The angels cheering.
And every time you tell me that, I'm like, no, you don't. You're too young to have kids that old. But if you say so.
I did have them young. And it's kind of fallen out of favor. But, you know, now I'm still young. I feel like I'm young. And they're all grown up. And I have a lot of freedom. And I can write books. So, you know, it worked out.
Wow. I mean, this is a perfect timing, too, for we have so many full-grown Republican men that have so little understanding of the science of our nether regions and other subjects.
Yeah. Well, I actually talk in the book about that, about how our knowledge of science has declined precipitously in America, that only about 1 in 20 high school seniors is capable of reading the science section of a newspaper, which is written for lay people.
Well,
so that's really a problem.
You heard the two latest, the Republican in Pennsylvania who compared rape to his daughter's out of wedlock pregnancy, and then who's the Chris? Whom I'm blanking. Oh, the guy, the author of the "Don't Say Never Say Gay" legislation in Tennessee said that virtually nobody ever gets AIDS from heterosexual sex. Incorrect.
That's wrong.
Incorrect.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Of course. You know, especially across Africa. I mean, one of the biggest problems of our lack of science knowledge is our lack of understanding about climate change. And I talk actually in my first book, Think, about how as the scientific community has gotten clearer and clearer and clearer about the facts behind climate change, Americans have gotten less and less interested and more confused about it.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
I'm sorry, you're referring to the New York Times bestseller, Think? It's on the cover of this book.
Yes, that's actually my first book is Think, which actually I have here.
Oh, really?
About American women and girls.
What are the chances you would have that?
It just came out in paperback.
Oh,
wow.
So, but you know, both books are on a similar issue, which is sort of the rise of ignorance in America and what we can do. The first book is about women and girls, and the second book is about boys. I was really shocked at what I found when I looked at the issue of boys, how boys are outperformed by girls at every level of school now.
Right.
That girls are graduating with better grades and in greater numbers, high school, college, graduate school, law school. Boys are really falling by the wayside.
Well, you know what? Who better to have on to join us for this discussion than the Obama administration's director for the Office of Head Start, Yvette Sanchez, joins us now. Good morning, Yvette.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're having Education Palooza this morning.
Great. Let's talk about education.
Well, I mean, it is, as Lisa says, you cannot underestimate how important this topic is. Let's talk about Head Start, for instance, and the president's support of that.
Absolutely. So, you know, the president is absolutely committed to Head Start. And over the last 3 years, what we've really seen is a investment in Head Start. Our funding, actually, when we started was at $6.2 million. We're now at $6.2 billion, excuse me. We're now at a little over $8 billion. And over the last 3 years, have actually had the ability and the privilege of serving 60,000 more children birth to 5 years old.
Hmm. Well, first, I mean, you mentioned funding, but that's an important part of it, right? Because I know that during the Bush years, I remember I heard from so many teachers that said it was just so underfunded. You know, it's nice to slap a nice name on an education program, right? But, you know, if it's just underfunding and overtesting, it doesn't work. Tell us how Head Start is working.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think what our funding does, and I know we're talking about education, but what I just want to remind folks is that education is just one component to making sure that our kids are successful. We also have to be able to make sure that our kids can sit still, that they can pay attention. And so Head Start focuses on all of those pieces. And in addition to that, making sure that we're getting families what they need. Because what we really know and what the research tells us is that our most successful kids are successful because they got their parents and their families behind them.
I'm a single childless loser, but how do you get kids to sit still? Because my experience consists mostly of on planes, and that would still be helpful information.
Well, I think there's definitely a lot of techniques, you know, that teachers use in programs across this country, but it is really focusing on, you know, what do kids need? What are they interested in, and what are they doing? And we're also really making sure that the teachers and the staff all across Head Start programs in this country have the skills and the knowledge that they need to support our most vulnerable kids and our families.
Lisa, that's a sliver of, I mean, just my friends that have boys. I mean, ADD, all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's
right.
Definitely
this is a big problem for boys. And in fact, in my book, I talk about how this is one of the core issues because boys tend to be wigglier. They have a harder time sitting still. And so as early as 3 years old now, we're asking little boys and girls to sit still, stare straight ahead, pay attention to a teacher who's often droning on because we're increasingly teaching to the test and we've eliminated recess and PE. So what we need to do is what I did with my kids is you get up a half an hour early, you take them to the playground, you let them run around, get their spielkas out, my grandmother used to say. And yes, that is a legal term. And let them run around and get their energy out. We don't need to drug them, you know. But
not to the point of throwing their connected zoink out, right?
Their what?
Excuse me? I'm sorry.
But, you know, that is a really important issue because kids do need to run around. But I also want to say with regard to Head Start, it's so important that our kids get more school, more time in school at an earlier age through Head Start. And by the end of the 12th grade, American kids go to school 1 year less than kids in Western Europe and Eastern Asia, mm-hmm. which is a big part of why we don't compete as well. We have the shortest school days and the shortest school years in the first world. Our kids just don't go to school enough.
Yeah, I mean, Yvette, the president, I think, has spoken really eloquently about that, that, you know, for all these, you know, we've got this convention where you're going to hear all the chanting USA. I mean, it should not be okay that we're so far behind so many of these other countries in so many subjects, should it?
Yeah, right. Well, we totally agree. And, you know, one of the pieces that we've been working on with Head Start is also at the local level, making sure that we're connecting our Head Start programs to our local public schools. So we're putting out a lot of information. We're making sure that our staff across the country know that, you know, the nearly 1 million kids that we serve are all going to go into some public elementary school. And we want to make sure that our Head Start programs are working with our local schools.
Talk to us about, because, I mean, for single childless losers like me, tell me what Head Start, I mean, it covers a lot of things, right? Not just educational, but medical, dental, nutritional, family support services.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for us, Head Start is it's a two-generational program. You know, we provide services to kids during the day so that at the same time we can support parents or, you know, foster parents or grandparents or whoever's taking care of that child so that they can go to work, they can go to school, they can achieve their own goals. To make sure that they're supporting kids.
What, just because I'm kind of a newbie at this, but what is the difference? I know we've heard a lot about Race to the Top. How does that differentiate from Head Start?
Race to the Top is really a program through the Department of Education, and it's really to help states focus on building their early childhood systems. Head Start is definitely a part of that in the states that have received the funding. They're at the table every day to make sure that we have this birth to aid continuum so that what we start in Head Start and in our other early childhood programs continues as our kids go into kinder, first, second, and third grade and beyond.
Yep. Well, you know, we were just talking about this legislator in there's a Republican in Tennessee that wrote this "Don't Say Gay" law in mm-hmm. for Tennessee schools, and I thought this version of the Republican Party to me seems like they're so focused on these social issues. I mean, you know, as you've been pointing out, we have such a bigger problem with education, and really, that's the most important thing to make sure no one mentions the word "gay" to school kids. I mean.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we can say about Head Start is that Head Start has always clearly had bipartisan support. You know, you can find a Head Start program in every county and, you know, tribal reservations and large cities all across this country. And Head Start traditionally and even today continues to have that bipartisan support that we need to make sure that kids are getting the services that they need. You know, I think the other piece I'll say is that we make sure that we are being culturally, linguistically, and, you know, respecting the traditions and the values. values and anything else that families bring with them when they come to our Head Start programs.
By the way, that same Republican legislature said it's virtually impossible for heterosexual people to get AIDS through heterosexual intercourse. So maybe, is there a Head Start program for him of some sort for adults to relearn science?
A back-end program for those who failed Head Start.
Yes. Start over? How about start over for Republican legislators?
Our kids are pretty successful. They're ready when they go to kindergarten, and their families are ready to support them when they head into the public school system.
Yep, absolutely. Yvette, great stuff, and we're so glad to always talk about education. The president out there talking about it all the time on the campaign trail, so we will talk to you as the campaign rolls along. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your time.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. There she goes.
Yeah.
There you go. We're helpers, Lisa.
Don't you think
we can have a start-over program?
That's right. Don't you think that everybody in Congress should have to pass basic 7th grade health?
Let's review. We do not have, rapists killing, secretions in our lady bits. We don't have, let's start over.
But
okay?
You're right. Congress should have basic 7th grade science knowledge.
If a 7th grader knows more about how babies are made and how diseases are transmitted than you should be out of office, immediately, right?
Absolutely.
You're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I mean, how dangerous is stuff like that? He's obviously teaching his kids stuff like that.
Yeah,
really?
I think this is a product of abstinence-only education, which is very popular all across the country. Yeah. Basically teaches, don't do it.
And
working spectacularly.
So we have the highest rate of teen pregnancy in the first world. I mean, this is the result of
it.
And we have legislators who don't know the basic facts about life.
Abstinence pledges make kids horny. It's been well proven.
Abstinence makes the heart grow fonder.
Exactly. And other parts.
Let's do a little bit of, since we're on the subject of science, let's do a science stack together, shall we? We've been talking about this woman that has a rare medical condition that causes her to experience dozens of unwanted
orgasms.
You
are going there. You are going there with me.
My point is, why would the word unwanted ever be before the word orgasm?
Wow. You know, my mother might be watching.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can go there.
Hi, Glow.
I don't know if I could go. Yeah, I mean, really, Stephanie, all day long? Right now? Well, wouldn't that be a problem for you?
Your mother is probably watching.
That would be a problem for you, wouldn't it, right now?
If you're working with power tools.
Could I have my science stack music, please? A New Jersey woman. For God's sake, she has to live in New Jersey.
It's only fair.
I kid. So she's in constant pain due to a rare medical condition that causes her to have as many as 100 orgasms per day.
Wow.
Wow-wee.
I got nothing on that.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, she was. She's diagnosed with persistent genital arousal disorder.
That's a disorder? Uh-huh. Really?
I do not see what the problem is.
Oh, poor thing.
Other women wonder how to have an orgasm. She said, I wonder how to stop mine.
So that's where they've all gone. They've all gone to this woman in New Jersey.
Where have
she's
all
hoarding them all.
Gone?
She's hoarding
orgasm,
them.
Orgasm hoarders.
She needs to share.
TLC, get on it. Call me. Its father's condition was caused by a tarvlov cyst that developed on her spine following a tumble. She took down some stairs. That's what I'm going to be doing later today is trying to fall down my stairs.
Stephanie says it's painful.
I'll come in tomorrow. You'll be like, why are you so bruised? I'm like, I tried to fall down the stairs again.
That's the excuse I used when I was 15. But
poor thing.
That's all you'll hear when you
and
call
we're
me.
We're laughing at her.
Okay, we don't. We're not.
How did this become public?
This is the part I like. She desperately tried to halt the sensation through various home remedies.
Like thinking about Mitt Romney.
Club soda. But it persisted, resulting in over 200 orgasms over the period of 36 hours. In the aftermath, she says the slightest movement can trigger an orgasm.
Oh, wow.
She said, I've even had one in public. I was traveling home on the train, and it was a bit of a bumpy ride.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Betty Davis,
that can be disruptive to your life.
Every jerk of the train or vibration made me more aroused, and it was a 40-minute journey home, so there's nothing I could do. I just had to bite my lip and sit on my hands. Well, that didn't help. And hope no one noticed. She hopes to find a persistent genital arousal disorder expert. Jim, you can...
Okay.
Why don't you have some cards printed on?
I think the guys are more sympathetic. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, I apologize. Yeah, 19 minutes. All right. Or just had to cover science here, because the Republicans aren't. All right, didn't mean to blind you there. Sorry about that. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Lisa Bloom on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to be paid, for goodness sake.
All right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why, look, Lisa Bloom is here, author of the new book, Swagger. 10 Urgent Rules for Raising Boys in an Era of Failing Schools, Mass Joblessness, and Thug Culture.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. It's an important book at an important time. I'm because we just, literally, this Republican Party today has become so anti-science, anti-education.
Anti-education.
Anti-math. I you know, Paul Ryan's budget, it just makes no sense. Like, you can't, when the CBO, which is a nonpartisan thing, does numbers, you can't go, oh, well, no, that makes sense. It's
you know, like a... The problem with cutting education, though, is it's been on both sides of the aisle. You know, in the last 4 years, we've seen education cuts across the country. Yep. Every September, it's right. What's the next round of education cuts? Class sizes have grown. Summer school is slashed here in Los Angeles to almost nothing now.
Right, but Lisa, a lot of that, in my opinion at least, is, you know, this you got to cut everything. I mean, obviously, the Republicans' priorities are tax cuts for the rich, period. So everything else has to be cut. And what happens is the states, they're rooting for teachers to be laid off. That's, you know, the public employees suddenly have become the enemy. Well, they're rooting for job losses. Like, oh, look at all this, everything we cut.
Well, one of the things I talk about in the book, which is a big danger for boys, is our culture of mass incarceration.
Right.
And as we've continued to spend so much money on prisons, the states have no money left for things like education. So I reject the false premise of we have to either raise taxes or cut social services, because there's a third alternative that nobody ever talks about, and that is cutting prisons on the state level and cutting defense right. spending on the federal level. And if we did that, we'd have plenty of money for education. Here in California, for example, we've built a new prison every year for 23 years at a cost of about $100 million. Each and only one new college during that time. And we've continued to cut education right. with dire results.
Yeah. Kelly in Madison writes, Steph, I love listening to your show when I can. I'm a lazy union thug teacher from Wisconsin, so I can only listen during the summer when I sit around doing nothing but eating bonbons.
Right.
Yeah. You make me laugh so hard at times when I almost spit coffee all over my husband. There she is, lazy union thug, eating bonbons, spitting coffee on her husband.
You know, and I talk in the book about teachers and how hard they work.
Yep.
And the average teacher starting salary is about $35,000 a year, which is poverty or near poverty wages in many parts of the country. The average teacher takes $500 out of her own pocket
to buy
for
supplies.
Her classroom every year. Right. That's the average. About 95% of them spend money out of their own pocket. And I talk in the book about how, you know, these cuts have led teachers to do things like go online on donorschoose.org, for example, and beg for books for first graders that cost $4 each. And I can guarantee you that teachers in Finland or Korea or countries that are killing us in education are not making their teachers do that. So we need to support our teachers.
You know,
we need to support our schools
and
not be at odds with them.
She makes a joke about union thugs, but this is what happened in Wisconsin. Scott Walker made the teachers into the enemy.
Yeah.
And literally, that's all I'm saying is what has happened when cops and teachers and firemen have become the enemy somehow, and Republicans are rooting for cutbacks because it's all big government. Well, all quote unquote big government is not the same. We should be rooting for more teachers,
and
not less.
And schools are not big government. We didn't used to think of schools as a bloated government program that we should just continue to cut every year. We used to think of schools as a priority. And so I think we all need to go back to prioritizing schools. You know, my book is a book for parents, and I talk about how parents can support teachers. If you have a good teacher, what you can do to help. If you have a bad teacher, what you can do to help that teacher in the classroom, volunteering in the classroom, giving your kids extracurricular activities and so on. Because one of the things teachers complain about is parents either being completely absent, never coming to conferences, or being helicopter parents, always hovering around and defending their kid, being like a criminal defense attorney. If they have any complaint about the kid, the parents say, no, my kid's perfect. And that just doesn't work.
What do you
work.
Know about criminal defense attorneys? 21 minutes after the hour, right back with Lisa Bloom on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So I am making my graceful transition into spinsterhood.
Or not. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
That bonus sale. Yeah. Spinsterhood, yes. Graceful, no.
I just keep trying to fall down the stairs so I get that orgasm affection. I'm reading from Swagger, Lisa Bloom's fabulous new book. And I was with you until I got to this chapter, Teach Your Boy to Be Ever Critical of All Media. Certainly you don't mean...
there is a
with
footnote.
The okay.
Except the Stephanie Miller Show. Did you see that? It's number 498.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Because I like to get them young, Lisa. I need to look at...
I want you to check up what... I am...
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all the media that teaches our kids that violence is the solution to all their problems, that beating up women is cool, that beating up gay men is cool. And, you know, I have a lot of lyrics to some of the most popular songs in America in the book. It'll curl your hair. I mean, stuff you probably don't even want me to say on your show. But really, it's appalling to me.
There's very little you can't say on my show. But okay.
Well, you know, the music that our kids are listening to, about two-thirds of it, of the top rap and hip-hop music today, celebrates violence, especially gun violence, rape, including rape of little girls, murdering gay men, and illegal drug use. So it's a whole different
world.
And
you hear it blasting at full volume out of guys' cars.
And it's usually in their earbuds, or in their rooms, so parents don't really know what they're listening to, but the kids memorize their lyrics, and I talk in the book about how it's really a trap for boys, because if they start espousing these values, if they start saying even this kind of language at school or online, it's a real trap for them. They can get kicked out of school, lose scholarships, or worse. So parents need to know, and that's why I have it in the book. And I also have scripts for how to talk to your kids about this stuff, about how violence is not the solution to everything or really anything, and about how there are better ways. Because parents, we have to stick up for our values. It's so important.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, you can probably feel the sizzle from here. It's the opening night of the Republican convention tonight in Tampa. And Mittens is quoting Popeye already.
You know, all I can do is be who I am. Remember that Popeye line, I am what I am, and that's all what I am?
I am what I am.
Maybe his convention speech will be written by Dr. Seuss.
I would not like it
in
a box.
Yeah. On a plane.
I would not like it with a fox.
All right, and Paul Ryan.
The next president for a few years. We are picking the pathway for America for a generation.
Yeah! Kill Medicare!
So do you want a pathway that cuts education spending or that that keeps it much the same as possible?
By the way, can I just say something?
I think you can. It's your show.
Well, thank you. you know, every 4 years, the Republicans pick a vice president. Somebody somewhere goes, oh, that's just like Bill Miller in 1964. And then I have some daddy issues because I'm sorry. It offends me when they compare him to Paul Ryan. First of all, because my dad's father was a janitor. You know, he really did, despite, you know, whatever his political beliefs would be now, and I'm sure they would differ from mine, but, you know, he really was a self-made man. And this, Jim, you were talking about this myth of that, oh, Paul Ryan, he does not come from, this was in the LA Times, no stranger to wealth. Paul Ryan has a working class image, but family connections and money aided his ascent. That's all I'm saying is this is what we're going to get at every Republican convention, these glossy, like, oh, Mitt Romney's hardscrabble years in France.
You know, and it's really the influence of money in politics. I mean, is Obama going to be the last president who actually had parents who worked for a living, you know, who are ordinary people?
Yeah, I know. I mean, and this isn't is disparage the right word?
Disparage.
Right, that's what I meant. See, my education's a little lacking. Anyway, Ryan was born into one of the most prominent families in Janesville, Wisconsin, the son of a successful attorney and the grandson of the top federal prosecutor for the western region of the state. Ryan grew up in a big colonial house on a wooded lot, and his extended clan includes investment managers, corporate executives, and owners of major construction companies, which made pretty much their whole living off socialist government money, building roads and stuff like that. You know, I'm not begrudging him his success, but I'm just like, going, don't sell us this every time that he had some sort of, hard scrabble upbringing, right?
Well, and wouldn't it be great if our representatives were proportionate to the rest of the population so that the top 1% was only about 1% in Congress instead of 99% in Congress?
Thank you. Yeah, I have more Paul Ryan fun facts. Would you like them?
Sure.
What people focus on, his dad passed away, which is tragic, when he was young, when he was 16. Mm-hmm. But he also would be where he is without Social Security survivor benefits. And these are the programs that they want to cut or privatize. Let's see. I'm trying to blah, blah, blah. Spokesman said, people can interpret the candidate's messages about his youth however they like, but I don't know that I'd say it's a message of humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. Ryan's rise to political power and financial stability was boosted by family connections and wealth. The larger Ryan family has repeatedly helped him in his career, giving him a job when he needed one, piling on tens of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. In the year after his father's death, Ryan's maternal grandmother set up Ryan Hunter Investment Partnership, which remains an important part of his finances today. He continues as the general partner running the entity for his family. In addition to the Ryan Hunter Investment Partnership, Ryan also benefits from another family entity, Ryan Limited Partnership, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, they say, meanwhile, the Ryan extended family was building up its own empire in construction, starting with Patrick Ryan. Whatever. I'm just saying, don't sell us the same load every time that somebody, you know, had no help. Yeah. That, because that's, to me, Lisa, what this whole election is about is, you know, are we our brother's keeper or not? Do we have each other's backs or not?
Yeah. And do we have the sense that the middle class is eroding, that we're becoming a country of the 1% and the 99%, and does anybody care? And do the people in power who we're going to elect, do they care? I mean, I talk in the book about how there are communities across this country who are turning off streetlights because they can't afford streetlights, that are depaving roads, that are closing libraries. You know, I have in the book a letter from a little 8-year-old boy, a little handwritten note, begging to keep his local library open because he doesn't have a library at his school. Mm. And that fell on deaf ears, and the local library in Detroit closed. I mean, this is what's going on across the country. And do people like Romney or Ryan or anybody else who's running for office have the interests of that kind of child at heart?
No, because they grew up to be Democrats. And so
yes, we've got to stop that. Well, I mean, we were saying that, you know, this is a party that is becoming so out of step with the diversity of America. I mean, I was saying, Lisa, I've never seen numbers like this. What is it, Chris? 94% to zero.
Yeah.
Obama's head among African Americans. I've never seen a zero. In any, I mean, it's getting to be the same with Hispanics and with women. And I was saying that John Boehner actually said it out loud, that he hopes blacks and Latinos don't show up. I mean, essentially, that's what he said.
Yeah, and of course that's what they're hoping for, and hoping that women don't show up, and hoping that the elderly don't show up, and hoping that people can't get past the new voter ID laws, which are a very transparent attempt to keep out Democratic voters.
Right.
I mean, this is what's interesting. There's two polls out. Obama's up by 4 in Florida, Romney up by 1 in North Carolina. But in North Carolina, and I've been there, and I've noticed this racial divide is really Romney and they're basically tied there in North Carolina. But the poll shows a stark racial divide. Republicans hold a massive lead among white voters, 63% to 33%, and Obama's and Biden's lead among non-white voters is even greater, 84% to 9%.
Which is why they want to keep people of color from voting.
But it's disturbing, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't we like to have two real parties or more? By the way, I wish we had more than two parties in this country. I wish we had more choices than two who are both very centrist, in my opinion, or at least the Democratic Party is fairly centrist.
Both sucking off the corporate teat.
There you go.
Yeah,
you said it, not me, but that's true. I'd like to see more parties. I think we should have more options for our president than we do, let's say, aspirin and pain reliever choices at the drugstore.
Well, speaking of which, Ron Paul will not be able to speak. He's not going to speak at the convention because here he is yesterday.
Major paper
cool.
in Washington, D.C. They said the revolution will not be happening. Don't they only wish?
Well, they asked Ron Paul to give a speech, and Ron Paul says, okay, and they said, okay, but Romney needs to approve, you know, your speech, every word in the speech, and Ron Paul said, no.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But sorry, I thought this was America.
Exactly.
My bad.
But I said this earlier on the show, is that Barry Goldwater Jr., my dad's running mate's son, is for Ron Paul, and, you know, he believes this is the mantle that his father carried that is now Ron Paul. But so literally there is no place for him in the Republican Party today.
Yeah, and this is what I mean about the narrowing of our choices. And everything at these conventions is so preordained and scripted now. There's very little improvised, spontaneous moments. That's why people, I think, are less and less interested.
Yeah.
Here's how they're going to try to get us with the war on women. Republican group courts women at the convention with hair and makeup touch-ups.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can't have contraceptives. Can't have abortions. But
right. Do you remember
how about we put a little sparkle eyeshadow on
you? Do you remember who the top paid advisor was when Sarah Palin was running? It was her hair and makeup artist.
That's right.
Oh, made more than her foreign policy analyst.
And it was someone she brought from Wasilla, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That I don't know.
I think it was.
But that was, right. You know, my mom, Gloria Allred, is going to the Democratic Convention.
You name drop her.
She's going to the Democratic Convention. Yep. I told her, you better mix it up. You better stir it up. We're looking to you.
We're going
to
be there, too, so I hope she's able to
she
stop
by. She did last time.
Yeah.
She was a very feisty Hillary activist.
That's right.
The
this
end.
Is hilarious. They have created a pop-up salon near the convention hall that promised to help you woman up.
God.
That's offensive.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Right, because the definition of being a woman is good lip gloss.
Don't worry about the abortion plank. Just here, put on some blush.
And let's not act like the men don't wear makeup, too, when they're on stage.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa Bloom, the book is Swagger. Pick it up. The New York. She's the
you're
author.
Covering
of the,
her name
sorry.
Again.
She's author of the New York Times best-selling book, Think.
That's right.
And this is her new one, Swagger. Pick it up. It is fabulous.
Thank
Lisa
you so
Bloom.
Much, Stephanie.
Always a pleasure, honey.
Take care. Thank
See
you.
Thanks
soon.
For coming in.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back with Robert Gibbs from the Obama campaign on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
St-
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour. Ooh, let's not wait a moment longer. Robert Gibbs, what an honor. Good morning, sir.
Stephanie, how are you?
Good. You are in Tampa, sadly for you.
It's a tad humid down here.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen all these things go around about what the Republican convention schedule is, the comedy things that go around the internet, and I think Rachel Maddow's daddy just sent me one. The opening music is Trampled a Week by Ted Nugent. Women's Rights, What's the Big Fuss, Little Lady, dominated by Eric Cantor. What?
Oh, man. I mean, you couldn't, I got to tell you, if you were a late night comedian, this is a great place to be. You know, and the platform, you know, it's sad. I wish the platform was a joke, but it's the real thing.
Well,
it is a scary thing. I was just with Mayor Villaraigosa. We were doing a press conference. He had a great line that I'm going to steal here on national radio, and that was in 2012 they gave us the platform of 1812. It was great. And
Robert, yeah, I got to say, we've been talking about this all morning because, you know, this war on women is not a figment of anybody's imagination.
Right.
In all my years talking about politics, I have never seen women so angry. And I'm sure you've heard the latest thing everybody talking about is the Republican running against Bob Casey compared rape to his daughter, you know, getting pregnant out of wedlock from consensual sex. They just don't seem to get it, do they?
I don't even understand how you, I mean, I don't know what logic one has to suspend, or what belief system you have to believe, what they're saying. It's remarkable to me. I mean, it's as if, they skipped, you know, 10 years of, elementary, junior high, and high school science to come to some of these conclusions. But, you know, it's scary for women out there that are reading this. I mean, the notion that you have a platform that opposes the choice of an abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest, it is truly, truly remarkable. And as the mayor said, you know, it's hard to imagine if you read that, you'd think we were in 2012.
Yeah. I honestly, at some point, I'm going, are they working for us? Because it's just, I mean, you look at the numbers in Missouri.
I know.
In Missouri, you look, I mean, it just, it literally, like I say, and I've never seen some of these polling numbers. I don't know about you. What is the African Americans? It's 94% to zero for President
right.
Obama. I mean, I've never seen a number zero.
Right. But it is. I mean, but I think it's telling that you have people all over this country, you know, that read what they want to do, and they make a decision that you're not surprised by, and that there's nothing in that platform for middle America. There's nothing in that platform if you're a woman. There's nothing in that platform if you're a young voter or an African American or a Latino. So, you know, I think the biggest point to remember is use that platform to get energized. But make sure you're registered and get involved, because we are going to make some huge, huge decisions in this country over the next few years. And you've got to participate one day a year in order to have an impact on all of those decisions over the next several years. So to everybody that's listening, if you're registered, great. Make sure your friends are registered. Get involved. Make sure you know where and when you're supposed to vote. And it's just so, so important.
Make sure you know what kind of ID you need, because there certainly are a lot of, you know, voter suppression plots going on. I mean, I don't know if you heard, Robert, but John Boehner literally came out and basically said, I hope blacks and Hispanics stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is what happens when you're not actually developing any policies that would appeal to different constituencies, right?
Exactly. Well, you hit the nail on the head, and that is they're going to win elections not by hoping everybody listens to the ideas on each side and comes to a conclusion, but by trying to jerry-rig the election and the electorate to be predisposed to want to be on their side. So it tells you all you need to know, that you've got a party that wants to prevent people from showing up and exercising their opinion, because I think it demonstrates that they understand that they don't have a series of ideas for a lot of those folks, and how dangerous that is for their party.
Well, and Robert, I think the problem for them, too, is it's not just one, you know, off-the-reservation comment by one guy or one joke. It goes to their policies, you know. So when Mitt Romney makes a birther joke, you know, but then has a completely dishonest ad about welfare.
Right.
People get that it is a racial dog whistle. When, you know, Mitt Romney says things like auto deport, Hispanics aren't stupid. They get, you know what I mean? Just, I think, and now again, it's not just Todd Akin saying one dumb thing. It's like, as you said, it's in their platform. It's the Ryan Akin plan. Go ahead. Sorry.
Stephanie, these aren't gaffes. Nothing that you just mentioned is a gaffe. That's exactly what they believe. That's what they believe in the platform, right? When Mitt Romney gets up there and speaks to the darkest voices in our society and in his party by making a joke about where the president was born, it's sad, quite honestly, that the party of Lincoln has devolved into this. But, you know, your listeners should be clear. These are not mistakes. These are not, you know, they're not gaffes. This is what they believe, and they believe that they can use this to appeal to others. It's a very cynical way to try to win an election. It's certainly a cynical way to run a campaign.
I've been talking all morning, Robert, about this. There's a new book. It's Worse Than You Think, Norm Ornstein. Interesting. People from both sides of the spectrum saying, you know, laying the blame at the feet of the Republican Party, just really, you know, detailing the unbelievable obstructionism that this president has been up against just for the sake of obstructionism.
Well, and I talked to Norm about his book, and I saw him at someplace, and he told me that before this came out, he said, "You've got to read this book. It's about obstruction and who's to blame." And I had this heavy sigh having watched it, you know, very up close. And he says, "Oh no, it's far, far worse than you think. Far worse." And you know, I think about it for my 9-year-old. You know, and for everybody's 9-year-old, quite frankly, and that is sort of what kind of country are we going to live in where the other political party continues to march further and further and further to the right. You know, it's sad to watch. I mean, there's things that used to be easy and bipartisan to do are now heavily partisan. They're very contentious, and that's just not the way we want to live, and that's not a society we want to live in. Great example is, you know, this production tax credit for wind energy. It lets wind energy be competitive with big oil and big gas. And this was, I got to give him credit on your show, though he won't like it. This was a tax credit written by Chuck Grassley in Iowa.
Right.
That's now an idea that's simply too liberal for today's Republican Party. That's kind of all you need to know.
I've said over and over, affordable care was Bob Dole's plan, ideas from the Heritage Foundation. I mean, you know, the minute the president's for it, they're against it. I talk all the time, of course, about, you know, my dad ran with Goldwater. And I don't, if you read Norm's book or you read anything by, I think, a reasonable Republican, it's just hard to not say this party has gone so far to the right. It's just, I don't know how we govern like this.
It's not your father's Republican Party. And the truth is, we're going to have to figure out how to do this after this election. I will say, I think this is for months, the Romney campaign wanted this to be a referendum, and then they picked Paul Ryan and his wacky budget and decided that they wanted to make this a choice. And I think that's a good thing for this election. I think it's a good thing for Democrats electorally, but I also think it's a good thing for this election.
Yeah.
We have what the president has been doing for 4 years against the intellectual framework of the Republican Party for the past 2.5 years in Paul Ryan and in Mitt Romney adopting that budget. You could not have a clearer choice.
Yep.
The stakes could not be higher. And quite frankly, whoever wins this race ought to come out of this with a mandate for breaking that governmental gridlock, because we will be able to say we had a vigorous debate about your ideas, and the American people, a majority of the American people rejected them.
Yep.
And I think that is that's what could be good at the end of this election.
Yep. Robert, we're out of time. I wish we weren't. We will see you live in Charlotte, though. So nice to talk to you.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks
All right.
for letting me call in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Robert. Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome. All right. We didn't get to the Obama assassination plot today, so
we'll
get to that tomorrow. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.